Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And our next guest on the show today is Julie Stewart. She's from Families Against Mandatory Minimums. That's FAM with two M's dot org. Families Against Mandatory Minimums at FAM dot org. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
Good deal. Well, thanks very much for joining us today. I heard at the top of the bottom of the hour news break there, they said that you've got some good news for us in terms of a possible new clemency policy for nonviolent drug offenders locked. Is it just in federal prison or state prisons? Tell us all about it, please.
Yes, I will. Yeah, today the Deputy Attorney General announced that basically the Pardon Attorney's Office is open for business, which is a huge statement because the U.S. Pardon Attorney's Office sits in the Justice Department. It's literally in some, you know, corner of the enormous Justice Department, and it basically does nothing. For the last 20 years, it's pretty much done nothing. And now the President has requested that office sort of be cleaned up, and they put a new boss in, a new pardon attorney, who's terrific, and getting kicked out the old one, who was awful, and now the Deputy Attorney General is saying, we want prisoners in federal prison who meet this criteria, and there are, you know, about 6 points that they want them to have met, to send us cases, and we will consider your case for clemency. So the key points are that the person has to have served at least 10 years in federal prison for his offense, and it's not just drug offenses; it's kind of any nonviolent crime.
Oh.
And which is great. And they have to be low level, you know, nonviolent, had a good prison record, not have had any violence before they got into prison. So it's very much sort of screening out anybody who might come out and reoffend in some violent way. Mm-hmm. So it's huge. It's a huge statement because this office has been so dysfunctional for so long that basically no one has been granted a commutation. And a commutation means that someone who's in prison, their sentence is commuted to time served, and they are released. And so that's, like, huge. I mean, people who are doing life sentences now for nonviolent drug offenses, for instance, can be considered for release if they meet the criteria and get through the various process that will be put in place to review their petition.
Mm. All right, now, so that's a lot of caveats to. And I always try to be real careful and not get my hopes up for any kind of politician promises, especially when it's something good that they want to do. I pretty much take their word for it when their plans are malevolent. But, okay, so the 10 years thing, let's pick on the violence thing for a second there. What if somebody's in there for a nonviolent crime, and then, but in prison, they got in a fight that, you know, from their point of view or their defense would be it wasn't their fault, they had to. But so now that means tough luck, you still got to do 30 years for your pot transportation crime or whatever it was?
I think it depends on the circumstances of the case, and that's what...
They're not just going to throw out anyone who ever, like, got written up in prison kind of thing?
No, that's right, they won't. I mean, I think that, you know, if you murdered another prisoner, they will probably not look kindly on your petition.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
if you got in a fight and you, yeah, but if you got in a fight and you've been in for 10 years and your fight was, you know, 7 or 8 years in federal prison today, who have already served at least 10 years on their sentence, whatever the sentence might be. So, and it's not to say, you know, the 10-year mark is like one of the 6 criteria that has to be met. So it doesn't mean that all 23,000 of those people are going to get out. But it does mean that we know there is a fairly sizable chunk of people who have already served 10 years in prison. Some percentage of them will also probably meet some of the other criteria, whether it's 1%, which, you know, 2,000 wouldn't be bad. Whether it's, you know, more than that, I don't know. Bad pardon attorney that I have met during my 23 years of doing this.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure it must have been you that I first heard of mandatory families against mandatory minimums on a CNN special. It would have been in 1997, I think, about the war on pot and some people who'd gone to prison. So you guys, I know, have been doing this good work for a long, long time.
We've been doing it before it was popular. I mean, it's so funny to me now, because when I started FAM in 1991, working on sentencing reform,
you see, you know, what a good job they can do sometimes, you know?
Yeah, no, it's very exciting, and I, you know, have to say it's way past time, but, you know, this is a great step. On the other hand, this doesn't really solve all the big problems, because it doesn't ensure that no people are going to start going into prison with long mandatory sentences. Those sentences are still on the books. Those sentences still need to be dumped.
Well, I thought they changed that in, back a couple of years ago. Didn't they reform that, or that was only kind of cosmetic?
That was only crack cocaine sentences that were, you know, improved, not completely perfectly, but they were improved.
Right.
But that
That's
was only, you know, one drug. They still, you know, if you are arrested with a certain amount of marijuana, you're still going to get 5 years or 10 years in prison, or with LSD, or with methamphetamine. Methamphetamine sentences are ridiculously high. So there's still plenty of, you know, stiff mandatory sentences that should not exist but do. And people are walking into federal prison every day.
Cutting off the NSA support in your state. Go to offnow.org.
The military-industrial complex. The disastrous rise of misplaced power.
Hey, Scott Horton here. I'd like for you to read this book, The War State, by Michael Swanson. America's always gone to war a lot, though in older times it would disarm for a bit between each one. But in World War II, the U.S. built a military and intelligence apparatus so large, it ended up reducing the former constitutional government to an almost ceremonial role and converting our economy into an engine of destruction. In The War State, Michael Swan...